You remember when David was moving the ark from the Philistines in Jerusalem, and he didn't quite understand the ramifications of walking with that kind of power. He didn't understand it was Uzzah to try to steady it when the cart began to shake, and he lost his life trying to steady that ark. And they put it over in Obed-Edom's house, if you remember. And the blessing of the Lord in a 3-month time came upon him in such a powerful way that they brought word to King David and said the blessing of God. See, David understood the blessing was in that ark. He said the blessing of God has come upon Obed-Edom's household, everything he's touched. It took me a long time to really understand the blessing of the Lord. This kind of blessing, this kind of multiplication, this kind of operation, say operation, it belongs to the realm of God's glory. And when you're around the glory of God, it will initiate and activate. It's part of the glory of God. The very nature of the glory of God, that no flesh will glory in my presence. I mean, how long would it have taken Pastor Chuck to work for all that? It's coming freely because the glory does that. That's what happens when you're walking in the glory. Things begin to become effortless. Now, there's a price to walk in the glory, but what comes out of the glory is effortless. You pay the price to sit. You pay the price to ascend into the hill of the Lord. We pay the price to be with him where he is. But then once that is achieved and that position is upheld and once that fellowship, then what God does, he does the supernatural around that position that you're centered into with him at the union. See, everything about the kingdom of God revolves around union. If you're out of alignment, if you're out of union, things don't work for you. When you get out of alignment, then what happens is there's systems, unseen, invisible systems that are constantly endeavoring to engage you. Systems of the world, systems of works, labors by the sweat of the brow. See, when you get out of alignment with God, then you get back to you doing it. You moving the mountain, you trying to fix it. But when you get into the glory of God and understanding the operations of God, God does the fixing. God does the moving of the mountain. We just move with him. There's certain things that we do in obedience, but he's the one doing it. He'll shock you. Sometimes he'll just shock you how fast he can get things done. How quickly. In 2.5 weeks, 13 months. See, mammon wants you to labor for years. They'll give it to you up front. You pay the price forever. God, in 2.5 weeks, took 13 months off. See, that's powerful. That's an operation of the glory of God. But you have to tap into it. Sometimes it's religious spirit will get on you and you'll reject it. And when you do, you won't tap into it. And everybody else around you get blessed and you'll miss it. You got to watch how religion works. You have to understand that multiplication and increase is an operation of God. It's an operation of the kingdom of God from Old Testament to New Testament. Jesus operated it. Paul operated. He told the Macedonians. He found them in a great trial of affliction and abundance and deep poverty. You're partakers of my grace. He had an apostolic grace on him. When he come into that city, they were in a great trial of affliction with deep poverty, but they were partakers of his grace. And when they partook of the grace of God, it elevated them. It elevated that church. That grace elevated them. We can do things by works or we can do it by grace. Now, understanding this, what I'm understanding about the glory of God, it's where you are in that glory, where you're centered in that glory. Some areas of our life we'll give to God, then other areas we won't. You can't be religious in one area and free in the other. We have to be free all the way around. Say, free all the way around. Free all the way around. You know, some camps won't believe in healing and it doesn't show up there. sometimes we'll embrace one area, but then another area we won't. It's not what your mind thinks about it, it's what the Word of God says about it. Amen? These are operations of the Spirit of God designed to set you free. If you receive it in that type of liberty, you can be elevated. Amen? God wants to elevate you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Sometimes people don't think twice about paying for a mortgage for 30 years. But when it comes time to operate in a debt-free system from God, something in them resists it. No, no, I can't do that. You know, I can't serve God and money. You're not serving money. You're serving God. The glory of God's coming over that situation. Amen. I want to look at something today. Just real quick, I want to look at 1 Kings 17, but I want to look at 2 Kings 4. These are familiar passages, but I want to show you a few things about these. This is the woman during the famine when God sent Elijah to this widow, Zarephath, and he comes upon her, 1 Kings 17, verse 10. So he arose and went to Zarephath as God told him to. You got to be where God is. You got to do what God tells you to do. It's a relationship. It's a union. Amen? You got to be in tune. It's not going to work for you if you're out of tune. I was like, Pastor Chuck, see what he was in tune in the Spirit of God. Thank you, the Lord. He knew something. He's been around me long enough to know he knew something was happening. When you see things like this, it's not normal for people to walk up to you every other day handing you $1,000. That's not normal. But we don't have to walk in the normal. We can walk in the supernatural. It's not just about people giving into your bosom. There's other means too. God can breathe on your business in supernatural ways and bring the uncommon abnormal. But you got to know how that works. Some people think it'll just fall on them. It doesn't just fall on you. You tap into it. You have to be engaged into it. You have to be where it is. Obed-Edom, it just showed up at his house, praise the Lord. But it was there. And because of that, it just... So Elijah was with where God told him to be, and the widow woman was about to connect with the kingdom of God. He said, now fetch me, I pray, a little water in a vessel. And she was going to fetch it, verse 11. He called her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but I have a handful of meal in a barrel. Look at the condition she's in. In a little oil and a cruse. Behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Well, she was in faith, wasn't she? See, all you got to do, sometimes if you don't have it, the one next to you does. See, you can get with somebody who has it. If I were you, you got to get with the person that's in the flow. I'd be having Pastor Chuck. I'll be asking him to pray for you after the service because he's in the groove. He can release that. Don't go get somebody to pray for you that don't know anything about this operation. These are operations of the Spirit, and you got to be plugged into it. I know everyone wants to be mighty in faith, but sometimes your faith hasn't gotten into that operation. Get with somebody who does. Get with somebody that's already flowing in it. Plug in. Watch your belief system. If it starts wanting to resist things like that, it'll keep you from it. Especially when this thing is flowing like this. Glory to God forever. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I made a cake. In verse 13, Elijah said unto her, fear not. Say, fear not. Go and do as you have said. Go make the cake. But make me therefore a little cake first. Now, there's a kingdom principle here. This is a principle. It's a major kingdom principle. You'd seem like Elijah would ask that widow for the last cake. If that widow would have consumed that cake, that'd been it. He knew he had to get what she had into the kingdom. And he was carrying the kingdom. That's why he asked for it. That's why when the Lord with the bread and loaves says, how many bread and loaves? What do you have? Bring them to me. The Lord knew what to do with it. Elijah knew what to do with it. You got to find someone that knows what to do with it. Amen. Now, you know the story. Once that happened and she engaged the kingdom came upon it. A lot of times we get the idea that God's got to come and move all our mountain in one bit, but most of the time God's going to start with what you have. There is a time called inheritance, called wealth transference, and God will just move all the mountain generationally. Most of the time that's a once in a generation thing, if you're blessed. But this is an operation all of us can tap into. Amen? It's centered around your position. I'm going to tell you something that you need to listen to me. People in the kingdom of God, they give all the time and nothing happens. It's because they haven't connected it to the kingdom. You're giving, but you hadn't made the jurisdictional transfer. Say jurisdictional transfer. That's what I want to talk to you today. Go to 2 Kings 4. Verse 1, there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets and Elijah, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead, and you knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. Now, this guy, he walked with the prophets. He was in the company of the prophets, served God in debt, and he dies. Now the widow's in trouble. Look what happens here. Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and you knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. You could listen to me. You can walk with God and fear the Lord, move in the anointing, move in the glory in areas, and in this area over here, nothing happens. The key is learning to plug in all the areas of the kingdom. To do that, you're going to have to allow the Lord to remove some belief systems. Most of the time, it's your belief system that's keeping God from moving. It's things that are resisting. You don't understand why it's resisting. Somebody may have hurt you in that area. Somebody may have taken advantage of you in that area. So everybody that comes along and even remotely speaks about kingdom finance, well, they're all just like the guy that hurt me. They're all, and what happens is the veil is over. You see what I'm saying? And when you get veiled like that, you see everybody like that. And if you see everybody like that, then what will happen, you won't be able to hear anything. And so that area of the kingdom gets cut off from your life. That's how it works. When you get veiled, you get cut off. That's why the enemy always is looking to veil us. The key is we have to stay free and unveiled. Amen? Stay free and unveiled to take off the veil. You do yourself a favor and take off the veil. I am not that guy. I am not the guy 20 years ago that hurt you. I am not that person. In 20 years, especially in the area of finances, we never have ever manipulated people. Not that I know of in 20 years. Never will. Amen. Amen. I'm talking to somebody. Amen. You got to let the veil go. The veil will keep you from the kingdom. There's a thin veil. It's a veil. And it'll keep you from the kingdom in that area. Need to understand that. Take that right there. Amen. I had to stop my message. Talk to somebody in here. Thy servant, my husband, is dead. Thou knowest thy servant did fear the Lord. The creditor, say the creditor. Gee, sounds like that spirit's been around a long time, huh? You think it's bad in this day and time. In that day, it said the creditor has come to take unto him thy two sons. They're going to pay your debt with forced labor. Today, you're just going to get a bad mark on your credit score. Back then, you had to give up your sons to pay the debt. You can imagine the fear she was in. the bondage she was in. And this guy served the Lord. And he died like that. Thank God she knew somebody that had the open heaven. Amen. And understood how the blessing works. Understood how the kingdom works. Glory to God forever. And Elijah said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Notice this. This is a very powerful verse right here. Tell me, what has thou in thy house? What do you have? When you approach things in the natural and the debt she's under and her sons are going to have to go work out the debt, it's impossible. Elijah didn't go running around raising offerings everywhere to pay her debt. He had it on him. He just said, what do you have? I need to know what I can work with. That's what Jesus said. He did that to Philip, proving him. From whence shall we feed all of these multitudes? Philip goes, 200 penny worth is not enough. He didn't understand what the Lord was trying to teach him. He goes, the kingdom doesn't need all that. The kingdom will work with what you have. And that's good news. So the kingdom will work with what you have. Say, what do you have? And she said, the handmaiden doesn't have anything in the house but this little pot of oil. That's all I got is a pot of oil. I would suppose most of us have more than that. Say a pot of oil. But see, Elijah understood. He knew. Elisha, he knew. It's all I need. It's all I need. That was the seed right there. Now I want you to notice something. He said, now, here's what you do. Go borrow pots from all your neighbors. I need to borrow that pot. Empty pots. Do you not borrow anything of worth? It's an empty pot. And he says, borrow not a few. Now notice this. This verse was really just, the Holy Ghost was on it. A lot of times you'll ask a question, you think that's your question. This is the laws of meditation. When you get a question around a scripture, most of the time it's Holy Spirit that's interjecting that question into your spirit. And you're questioning because he's interjecting because that's his invitation. Come and dine. Come and seek me. I got something to show you. That doesn't mean call up the pastor. But you can. But a lot of times he wants to show you. That's why he put the question there in the first place. It's not just your question. He interjected. So many revelations and series that we have began with a question. I remember when he started, he goes, why do you suppose the king of Tyre and all of his glory, the devil, called himself the king of Tyre in Ezekiel 28? Why do you suppose he called himself the king of a city they spread fish nets upon when he boasts to be the god of this world system? I don't know. That embarked almost like a 5-year journey into revelation concerning that one question. Why would the devil call himself the king of a city they spread fish nets upon when he boasts to be the god of this world system? That's a powerful revelation. It's in the Mount Hebron series in case you're hungry to go find out what that means. So, borrow the vessels, borrow not a few. Now what she says, and when they come in, look at this. Thou shalt shut the door. When you bring all these vessels in, shut the door. Say, shut the door. The Bible says when you go before him, you enter in. Say, enter in. He goes, when you pray us, enter your inner sanctuary, shut the door. See, the kingdom doesn't begin until you shut the door. Matthew 6 says, when you enter in to the inner sanctuary, your closet, that's not the one with the shoes in it. That's the inner sanctuary of the kingdom. Shut the door. And your Father that is there, wherever you went, you left this jurisdiction. You went into the, see, the kingdom doesn't begin until you get into the jurisdiction. When Matthew 6:6, I need you to understand this. When you enter in, I'm King James in you, when thou prayest, enter in to their closet, the inner sanctuary. I'll just do it over here. This is the prayer room, by the way. This is the kingdom, and this is the world system. When you enter in, the door's locked. When you have that, you're in trouble. Something's blocking the door. Something's barricading the door. Sin. Thieves. Atmospheric thieves. You enter in, you shut the door. Do you see the transference of jurisdiction? You're in another jurisdiction. Until you learn to do that, until you learn to do that with your finances, you learn to do that with your walk with God, things are not going to happen for you because you're operating in the wrong jurisdiction. You don't pray in this jurisdiction, you pray in that one. You don't operate in this one, you operate in that one. He said, so he knew as soon as Elijah spoke, he knew the glory was on the oil. Just like when the Lord spoke, he said, fill the water pots with water. Sometimes you don't even have to touch it. Elijah, these guys had it on them, all they did is speak. And they could do it with a spoken word. As soon as he spoke, that oil had shifted. So he said, when you bring these water pots in, when you bring these pots of oil, bring them in empty, but shut the door. There's a jurisdictional transfer that takes place. You got to get them out of the jurisdiction of that city. You got to get them out of the familiarity of that city. You got to get those pots out of the poverty and get them into the glory. So you got to get them into the glory. You got to get what's in the world into the glory. It isn't good. Just because you write a $1,000 check doesn't mean anything if it doesn't have the glory on it. The jurisdictional transfer is the single most important thing you're going to do. And without it, everything else is simple mechanics. And it won't work. That's why you want to focus your life of dwelling in the glory. You want to focus your life of moving in the glory. And focus your life behind the door with God. Unless you're happy with the results you're getting. But sometime that happens, you'll go to that door and it's shut. If it's shut, you're going to have to find out why it's shut. Trespassers will shut the door. Sin will shut the door. Atmospheric thieves will stand at that door and act like it's shut. I have a teaching called Atmospheric Thieves. I put it all over. I got it in 4 or 5 of the series. Go find it. It's an awesome teaching. They'll keep you from that door. They know. He goes, I come, you have life and have it more abundantly. That's right after the door of scripture. The life is behind the door. The operation of the kingdom's behind the door. You had to get the oil where the glory was. The glory was already in that pot. As soon as Elisha spoke it, it was there. But you had to get pots now. He said, now start pouring the oil. And after they shut the door, those pots, it transferred jurisdiction. See, they got up in that glory. And when they started pouring the oil, every single pot was made full. Now, listen to me. Every one of those pots represented a check to the creditor. Because Elijah said, you go and sell the oil and pay your creditor and live off the rest. Every time they poured a pot, that credit card's paid. That car's paid. See, they're taking the pot and releasing. Taking what's given and releasing it. Because he said, go sell it. That's like a check. Go sell it. That multiplication will flow, but you got to go send it out. I bet that widow was thinking, man, we should have gathered some more pots. Now, let me tell you something about that. He said, borrow not a few. She borrowed to the capacity of her belief system. Some people's belief system got a bigger room. First thing I said, that room is not big enough for me. Elijah would have said, go find another one. Because the oil's going to stay as long as you got a pot to fill. But the second your belief system stops, then the oil stops. You bring two pots in, that's all you're going to get. I guarantee it. After she saw that, she goes, oh, why didn't I go to the next city and gather all of it? Because the oil stayed in accordance to her belief system. That oil would have kept going as long as another pot was there. I guarantee you, she's thinking, why didn't I get more pots? Expand your tent. Expand your belief system. When the kingdom of God's in operation, it's far beyond just the debt. He goes, now pay your debt and live. Say, live. I believe that woman probably become one of the wealthiest in the city because nobody had anything. The kingdom doesn't stop just at the debt being paid and the creditors. Her sons had been freed. Could you imagine the joy? What if she had a religious spirit would have stopped all that? Oh, my God. The sons, they would have had to go work under hard labor. That one miracle, oh, imagine the freedom and the liberty. Just the relief their sons didn't have to be sold into bondage. Do you understand what it feels like to have all the debts paid? Some of you do. Glory to God. I bless you in the name of Jesus, and I receive your blessing. The oil will flow as long as you got a pot to fill it. Why don't you look at your spirit as the exchange center of God? As long as your spirit's before the Lord and being brought before God, He'll keep filling you and keep filling you and keep filling you. The day you stop bringing your spirit before God, the oil stops. Kingdom of God is only limited by us. I guarantee a year after that, she's thinking, why did I not get more pots? See, when it's flowing, you got to get in. When you're in the groove, you got to get in and stay in. Amen. The key is staying under, staying in. I said, Lord, get me in. I had something happen this week, kind of broke my flow. I said, Lord, my flow is broken. I got to get back in. I'm just like you. Things happen. You just got to get back in. Don't sit there and feel sorry. Be thankful. You get in self-pity, that'll lock that door. Self-pity will lock that door. Trespass will lock that door. Religious spirit will lock that door. Offense will lock that door. There's a lot of stuff that'll keep that door locked. You got to be wise to what's locking the door. Amen. And the bigger belief system you come in with, the bigger things are going to happen for you. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. I want my spirit open. I want my spirit open, ready to receive. I need oil from heaven. I need the oil. See, I need the oil. I need the oil. When the debts are paid, we're not going to stop. The kingdom of God will move up in front of you. They'll move up in front of you. The blessing will move in front of you. I had somebody, they said, well, how do I do that? My debts are paid. I said, well, what do you want? What do you want to do? I really want a really nice refrigerator. She said, well, how do you do that? Like that with that? I said, it's no different. I said, set up a bank account. And that is your project bank account. It's the same thing. What do you have to start with? This was a nice one. This person had good taste. God can afford your taste. Well, you know, you're getting carnal with a refrigerator. Would you prefer your food to spoil? Well, you don't have to have a good refrigerator. You need to have a regular refrigerator. But the problem is the regular ugly refrigerator doesn't match the decor in my kitchen. So it's not flowing with me. When I got black appliances and the ugly yellow old 20-year refrigerator, it's not going with the flow. I'm sorry, I just walk in and the anointing lifts from my life. It doesn't come on me. Because I got the old refrigerator now that I'm nice, religious, don't ever believe God for anything. But I walk in, the anointing lifts off of me. I look at that ugly refrigerator. I'm not telling you to be carnal. I'm telling you to be engaged in the kingdom. If you want a refrigerator, enjoy the refrigerator. I promise you, your refrigerator is not going to take you away from the kingdom of God. Set up an account. I said, now what do you have to work with? And she said, well, I have this. I said, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to bless this. I think she had like $250. I said, we're going to take this $250 and let's bring it to the kingdom of God. Let's bring it up before the Father. I said, let's do it while the anointing is. I'll tell you, when the anointing and the glory, that's when you lift. That's when you transfer the jurisdiction. You got to get that. You got to get it out. You got to get it behind the door. Amen. What's been happening is so much of our stuff never gets beyond that door. So nothing happens with it. We're doing all the works. We're doing all the good things, but we don't know how to get stuff behind the door. First thing that gets me behind the door is you. You need to get behind the door. God's concerned about your heart first. He's concerned the kingdom first. Amen. When you get behind the door. And I said, now set up an account. And the same thing, we're going to bless this. You're going to take 90% of this. The first thing we're going to do, now listen, this is not a tithe. Understand this. I'm going to close here in a minute. This is not a tithe. This, because it's 10%, the Lord told me, he said, this is not a tithe. It's an honorarium. It's an honoring of the kingdom. It attaches. It's an acknowledgement of the kingdom. You take 10% of that and you give that to the Lord. And you take the 90% and you put it in that account. And don't touch it. And wait and see what God does. She's going to have a new refrigerator soon. Isn't that amazing? Because I felt the shift here. I want to share something with you. When it comes to debt, everyone will go, yeah, amen. But when it comes to something you want, oh no. You're going to have to get rid of that. It's amazing. When it comes to debt, yeah, we'll get rid of the debt. But when it comes to anything else, no, you need to take a marker and draw a bigger circle around your belief system. I promise you, you can have a nice refrigerator and serve God. Nobody, and here, I'll draw another marker for you. Nobody has a problem going to buy the nice refrigerator with debt. That's amazing. And the devil will never convict you of it. As you get it in debt, I can buy it. You can charge it. Praise God. God gave me a refrigerator. Hallelujah. I'm going to pay for the next 5 years, but I got a fridge. It was included in the house that I'm going to pay on for the next 30 years. They gave it to me. No, they didn't. You're going to pay a lot for that. You're going to pay for years and years and years. Just broaden your belief system just a little bit. Amen. I felt the shift in my spirit. I felt it. When you're talking about moving debt, everybody's going, amen. But when you start moving forward about something you want, can't go there. You know what? I'm like, what is that I feel? And the Lord said, that's not your belief system. That's somebody else's. But I'm feeling your belief system. I don't like it. It's like the yellow refrigerator, the ugly one. It's sitting in the kitchen. I have a beautiful kitchen and an ugly yellow refrigerator. That's got to change. I don't like that right there. I'm not telling you to go off. The kingdom of God is about, I understand what the kingdom is about. I understand the kingdom about souls, and I understand the kingdom is about deliverance and healing of the nations and discipleship. I understand enough to make our teachings free of charge to the nations. I understand a little bit of how the kingdom works. But I also understand the kingdom costeth. Amen. But at the same time, if you serve God, I found something, one thing about the poverty mentality never changes. And nothing much gets done. If you don't get a bigger vision, you're going to get concealed and restricted. And yeah, you'll know certain things about the glory, but you won't have a free flow in any other area. Amen. it's okay to let God broaden you a little bit. Amen. You might like the newer stainless steel version of your belief system. That stainless steel version of belief system might be better than the old yellow one. Well, I have a yellow refrigerator. He's talking to me. Well, if you like yours, amen. But I'm not talking about refrigerators today. I'm talking about belief systems. Amen. Let God bring you out of the box a little. Amen. Right now, we need to get out from under mammon. That's our first. We'll stay with that if that makes you comfortable. We'll get back to moving the debt because I know everybody wants to get out of debt. How many want to get out of debt? Raise your hand. Amen. I'm in the right place. We'll stay there and we'll shift you to the next level after that. Steps. Amen. Steps. Remember, transference of jurisdiction. Man, I was flowing with the oil and I jumped in the refrigerator and I went, I got to get back in the oil. Glory to God. Get back in the oil. I have to stay where everyone is. Praise the Lord. Get back in the oil. Oh, the oil. Everyone stand up if you would. Praise the Lord. I want to speak over your life right now. I want to release. Glory to God. We need to get in that room where the oil is. I get in that oil. We pass through the gates. Bring that up a little bit. We pass through the door. We pass through. We enter into, Father, we bring our life, our spirit. Out of our innermost being floweth the rivers of the kingdom. We guard the heart with all diligence, for out of it floweth the kingdom. It's the precious oil, Father. It's the oil that makes all things. It's the oil and the glory. We enter into the holiest of all. By the new and the living way. Bring that up a little more. By the new and the living way. Having access by faith into this grace. It's all by grace. It's all by grace. Elijah had the grace. Elisha had the grace. Jesus, you are the grace. Paul had the grace. Today we enter into the kingdom of grace. That which is not worked for. That which is not earned. That which cannot be deserved. That which is freely given, it's your good pleasure to freely give us the kingdom. Father, clothe us. Clothe us in the kingdom. Clothe us in the kingdom. Clothe us in the glory. Clothe us. Clothe us. We enter and clothe us. Clothe us, Lord. Clothe us in the glory. Let the oil pour over our head. We are that pot, Lord. We need the filling. Fill our pot. We stretch forth the curtains of our habitation. We stretch forth the capacity to receive. We stretch forth that we get fullness. We come to you for fullness. Pour the oil. Pour the oil. Pour. The glory, pour the oil, oil. All that we are, all that we have belongeth to you. We bring it all into the jurisdiction of your grace. We bring it all in the jurisdiction of freedom and the liberty of the kingdom of God. We dwell, we're seated as joint heirs. In the kingdom. Clothe us, Father, in the kingdom. Clothe us in the glory. Clothe us in the fullness. Clothe us, Father. Clothe us in the kingdom. The blessing. The goodness. The mercy. The love. The light. We want all of it, Father. We lay down every belief system, every veil in any area that does not line up with your word. Let your word of truth penetrate the veils. Let truth tear down the veils. I see veils being torn down today. I see veils, truth, penetrating the veils, relinquishing the veil, relinquishing the hurt, relinquishing trespasses, relinquishing those that betrayed, those that hurt, those that abused, those We relinquish. That violated your heart, relinquishing the veils. I just see the Lord taking like a curtain, just pulling that curtain back off your spirit. I want you to take your hand, if you can see me, and just like a curtain from the left side to the right side, just pull that curtain back. Pull that veil off. That is the former veil. That is not who you are. Pulling that veil, unveiling the heart, unveiling the spirit, unveiling. Clothe us in truth, Lord. Clothe us in truth. And the glory and the grace and the fullness. We want all of your kingdom. We want souls, Lord. We want divine healing. We want deliverance, discipleship, fullness. We want the blessing and the operation, divine increase, supernatural multiplication. The kingdom. We want the kingdom, Lord. The kingdom. We want revival. An awakening. We want the king priest government. We just rest in what you're doing, Lord. This glorious rest of the kingdom. Let the multiplication release now. Let the operation release. Some of you are receiving that operation right now. It's the first time since we've been preaching, but you're receiving. I see the rivers of God coming into you. Your gates shall be open day and night. They shall not at all be shut. Men may bring unto you the wealth of the nations, the kingdom flowing into and out of your gates, healing flowing in. Some of you are open in one area, but God's opening you to this area because you're trusting again. You let the veil down. You're trusting in the Lord. It's all about union with God. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Be clothed. Be filled. Be filled. He's a good Father. You're a good Father. You're a good Father. Feel the pleasure of the Lord. Feel the goodness of the Lord. Feel the glory of the Lord. Feel the blessing of the Lord. It's your good pleasure, Father, to give us the kingdom you wish above all things. We prosper and be in good health. As our soul is prospering, our spirit is prospering, our health is prospering. We live in the garden of life. Go with us and make every crooked place straight. Before the day's end, somebody, you will have a miracle. Before this day's end, some of you are connecting into the kingdom now and things will begin to function and operate. I hear the Spirit of the Lord tell me to tell you, your life is the very most important. Your spirit, you, I want you first. I want your heart first. I want you to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. And then I'll add the operations around that place. I'll add the operations around it. I'll surround you in goodness. Surround you in mercy. I'll surround you in fullness. I'll surround you in favor. I see the favor of the Lord coming upon you today. Make all the crooked places straight now. Straighten out. I see the Lord straighten out that was crooked. He's straightening it out.
We trust you're enjoying today's message. We would like to invite you to partner with us through our convenient online donation feature that enables our ministry to continue offering these life-changing messages free of charge.